to go. All right, this is the Westland Economic Development Committee, July 12th, and we are starting about 6:33. I'm Gail Holmes, the chair.
Amanda Stein,
member.
Darren Wise, staff.
Les Williams, member.
Rachel Vadine, vice chair.
Richard Sackler, council liaison.
Shannon Knight, member.
Great. First off is the selection of the community chair, and the reason why that I want to give up my seat as chair is because I'm in the process of selling my house, and I don't want to leave you guys hanging. So when things change for me, then you'd be without a chair. So I think it's best that we select, either promote.
Yeah, we already did.
Or select.
The last meeting, when she wasn't here, we already said that she's
here. And you're like.
So, do we have a nominee? Does everybody?
We have an announce.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Jennifer Harmon.
Is there any discussion about who you want to be the chair? I don't want to dictate who it is, so.
I nominate Rachel to be the chair.
Okay. I nominate Rachel, too.
So we have a second. First and a second. And do you accept the nomination?
I accept. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. All right.
Can you vote on that?
Yes. So is there any discussion?
No?
Okay.
Secretary.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none. And do you want me to do the next part of the vice chair?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so then we would need a vice chair. So do we have a nomination from the floor to be vice chair?
Shannon Knight.
Shannon?
Do
you have a second? Jennifer seconds it. And what say you?
How often are you going to be? Yeah, okay, that's fine.
So, yes?
Yeah.
You would do that? Okay. All right. Do we have any other nominations from the floor?
Amanda. We had talked a couple of different times.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Amanda, and do we have a second for Amanda?
Well, I nominated Shannon. Can I?
You can.
I will second Amanda. So, and do you accept?
I do accept.
Okay. So now we have a ballot. So
you can.
I know. I don't know what to do with it.
She can have it if she would like it.
Okay,
because I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, because I know you're really busy with a lot of things. So
she drops out of
the race.
That happened to be a BHOA once.
President.
President.
Yeah.
All right. So all in favor of having Amanda Stein be our vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And we have one abstention. Okay. Alrighty. So, ladies, you get to take over the meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Cheers.
We'll miss you terribly. Your absence when you leave will be felt. Thank you for all that you've contributed. We'll give you this all the kudos now. Thank you for all that you've contributed to the EDC and the City of Westland. And we have. I know I personally have appreciated all your insight and your efforts and your time and devoting it to the city and to our teams and our groups and the neighborhood associations. I'm sure I'm missing a ton of something.
Yeah.
Something, but I know I feel like I speak confidently for all of us that you will be missed. Your absence will be felt.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank you.
What's the bad news? But the good news is you didn't hear the council change it. You can be involved if you're not in West Lynn anymore.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Okay.
Right, we'll be Skyping you while you're in Arizona.
After all your years, it's
well,
like this change. I think I'm done with it all of a sudden.
Do a video conference.
I was just kidding.
Right, well, yeah. And I do have to admit that I was willing to resign a month ago, but the mayor said, you know, I really would like you to stay as long as you can because, you know, you have a lot of knowledge in working with this group. So, I decided to stay, but I don't want to hold you guys up. So that's why it's important to pass on the torch. And I'll be here if I live here, and if not, I may just come as a guest just to irritate you. So. All right.
You do a good job of that already.
I do my best.
I know.
So, okay, thank you. So the next item on the agenda is the review of agenda. I do not see anything. Am I missing a printout of some sort? There isn't another. Okay, sorry.
There's the agenda.
Okay, sorry. Review the current one in front of you, please.
Oh, you have one in front of you. Okay.
All right, it looks fine to me. Any corrections?
Yes, no.
So, the next item, number three, approval of minutes. I guess that's what I mean. We don't have any minutes from the June meeting. All right.
Right.
It says
right.
April on the agenda, but I'm looking quickly to.
We had a retreat. I guess that was.
Did we not approve our retreat minutes?
And there were minutes sent, I believe.
Well, if we don't have them, it's best just to table them then move forward.
Do
it's
you
like
usually
the,
print those out? Or does
no,
John?
John.
That's John, yeah. So since. He is absent today, I would assume.
We'll
bring those next time. Yeah. Okay. So, oh yeah, it does say. Okay. So, for old business, Economic Development Committee ideas and strategy, continued discussion from, I assume, this must be the April meeting.
Actually,
I think
or
this was from June.
I'm wondering if he was thinking, did we have any more discussion on our goal setting that we did? But I don't know if that's what he meant.
Yeah, I don't know what he meant.
I think he has approval of minutes for April. Did we not approve of minutes in April? Because we didn't
at
have
our
a
retreat?
May, at our May meeting, and so maybe we didn't approve them at our retreat.
Yeah, they still say draft.
Okay,
on that
so
website.
Let's move those to our
so we'll need
August
to
meeting.
April and June,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we have, Gail, is this what you brought for us today? This
yeah.
retreat conclusion
it's,
summary? Okay.
John sent it out to us, but I just made copies for you guys.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
that's what we talked about.
Yeah.
I could expand on it if anybody wants to add to or, and our counselor liaison couldn't be with us, so he didn't know what we had talked about at that planning
yeah,
session. So.
Okay, do you have anything you'd like to add to this, to the list?
No.
And does any of us?
Did it, I just was wondering whether it was before or after drinks. Or
it was after. It was kind of after.
Or during, right.
Okay.
Sounds like it was a worthwhile experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
It
was
mm-hmm.
nice, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, in the past, too, we've talked about transportation, too. Haven't we at one point? Or I know that we discussed it, just, like, the opportunity for some kind of public transportation around the three parts of Westland,
mm-hmm.
similar to other cities, just because there isn't public transportation up here.
Right.
And just keep that on our radar.
I had a question because I had to leave the meeting early. About the high-speed broadband being on there again. I'm curious as to why that's on there again. I thought that was a non-issue anymore because of our topography. It was not a viable solution for us.
The conversation was Kazi brought it up about different projects that we could do that would invite businesses, and it got mentioned that right now you want high-speed internet. You go through Comcast and you pay their prices, and
mm-hmm.
there's cities that have set up the infrastructure. And he was.
There was a whole committee about that. They did a whole project on that.
Yeah,
I mean, you can speak to that.
Task force.
I think the conversation was about. Wasn't it about
projects
the
city could do to invite and
the
help.
Cell towers going up, and that could, that those towers are somehow fiber optically connected. That there might be a way to do. Something with
well, and with technology changing
that.
All the time, there could be ways
mm-hmm.
to, and there's, I think we just keep our eyes open
mm-hmm.
because what if there was something that was easy
to add to our system that we have and not, you know, totally ripping everything out. But technology is always changing. It's always getting better. So it is possible.
I just thought it was the version of what Kazi said a bunch of months back.
No, this was at the meeting last
the retreat.
The retreat.
Yeah.
I just thought it was more of a conversation, I didn't see it specifically being that was the only thing. It was just keeping our minds open to exploring things that can alleviate other things that would prevent businesses from succeeding in the city.
Yes.
Broadband was an example.
Yeah.
And I think
but
that we talked about
we
that
do?
It could be done on a kind of hyper local level, so certain parts of the city could be done pretty easily. And maybe not the entire city, but business districts could be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a way to attract businesses.
But there also was a few months ago, well, it's probably longer than that because time goes so quickly, but there was a mini satellite that would go on the telephone poles, and that a business was bringing that forward to see, could it work here? So that's why I'm saying there could always be new ways to do things, and we should just keep our eyes open.
I agree. Keeping a pulse on it, you know, to keep the city progressive.
Not that I don't want to. I just, there was a whole task force on that, and I'd like to know, I think we should review what their findings were and why we stopped proceeding down that path and what were the obstacles so that we're aware of that. And maybe then we can start investigating other opportunities and solutions.
Part of the thing was that task force never had a forum. So that's why
we
died.
Did, but not often enough when we got to it. But the bottom line, it ended up being the feasibility study, which is what the task force was to decide, not whether we'd actually have fiber. It was a task force to have a company give us all the data as to whether it made sense or not. And
I
so
that
came out. No, the city allocated $25,000 for that, and the lowest bid with the lowest bid was like $110,000, and so the city decided not to move forward on it. Not that it was gone forever.
No.
And so what Shannon said to me is even more potentially more relevant for business sections, and you know that could be part of a mixed use potential. Take business sections and provide high-speed internet there, run by the city potentially, so you don't have to deal with Comcast or whatever. And eventually, the waterfront's going to need something like that.
Yeah,
there'll be a whole lot of businesses.
But also
there.
That program you're talking about, they were talking about dredging and getting, you know, digging into things, right?
Ground.
And the problem with that is
with
that
topography.
Yes.
Yeah,
so they said it just wasn't feasible to do that. But with technology, there could be other ways, and that's why I said. You know,
I
don't think
it was
you
John
agree.
That said that there was something like with the
micro cells,
cell towers or something that they could run fiber optics to that
fiber to the tower,
right?
And then wireless from the tower to
well,
homes, and it would be, you know, not thousands of homes at a time. It could be a
right.
100 or so that are within a distance that you could get that.
Well, and this
high
one
speed,
pre-application that came through, it did. Pre-application come through, and they have 18 months to decide if they're going to do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But what they
right.
were talking about is like little miniature little things that they put on the telephone poles. So it's not even putting
a router.
In a big, and I don't, it didn't go anywhere, and I don't know if it will go anywhere. But again, think outside of the box. Let's see.
Yeah, well, it may not work now or be feasible now, certainly in the future and again as the waterfront develops.
Well, I don't think broadband was the end all for Kazi. He was just challenging us as a group to think outside, like, what can we do? Okay, commercial leases are expensive. What else can we do? Like, can we reduce rates on something else?
Mm-hmm.
And he just threw out broadband as an example. And then we got to talking about how other cities have done it. So it was just challenging everybody to think differently.
Yeah, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what the city currently does. Darren may or may not be aware of it, but you know, there's dark fiber to specific areas. So here to City Hall, to the Adult Community Center, and those are really high speed connections. So if a group got together and wanted and made a suggestion, well, let's do it towards Willamette Falls Drive, all the businesses there, let's make something available that the city could run and put in a line of, you know, dark fiber, do one along 43 and that corridor there with
a
lot
of businesses along there.
And especially as it gets developed more, you know, specific spots and not to every citizen, because that's where it gets really cumbersome with the hills and all that stuff.
It's hard.
You know, And that would be mostly, you know, mostly economic development's going to be along those corridors.
I would like to invite someone that was in charge of the Sandy project to broadband there to come and speak to us.
Jeremy, I forgot his last name, but if you want, I'll dig up his name, his last name. He's a city councilor there as well.
I see him periodically. Yeah, he went to those fiber meetings, and I listened to all those meetings. Mm-hmm.
And then the mayor, too, was real involved in that.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy goes around the country.
Bill. Isn't his name Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then he further added to it that as broadband, as an example, it could also be another stream of revenue that the city could use.
Absolutely.
As opposed to always going to homeowners and promoting more.
But as you're talking about that with the dark fiber, I mean, we are getting to where we're going to redo Willamette Falls Drive, right, with the streetscape and stuff like that, and we're going to tearing up the streets and putting electrical in and stuff like that, so it would make sense to kind of look into that while we're tearing up the streets already.
Well, they've also talked about the rezoning 43 corridor, so that would open up construction development there.
That's right.
That was a particularly good time, like you said, definitely.
City council just put it in the code.
I want to make a comment on our list here. When I wrote down transportation, but public / buses, but we also need to keep a keen watch on with the waterfront project. Is one of the big issues down there is going to be transportation and how do we move people and keep the flow going without, you know, stifling. And then, of course, it sounds like ODOT is moving forward or the state is moving forward on tolling. And so when you're driving through West Lynn, and if you're tolling 205, we don't have a lot of alternate routes through us other than Willamette Falls Drive. And that is really, I think that could be something that we should be keeping our eye on, because that is definitely going to affect our businesses
and you
our
know,
citizens.
In the transportation, the TAB board, that's under discussion regularly, is the, you know, the change up of the, or the renovation of the streets and stuff down there and how to get back and forth. So it might be of interest for us to connect with them and see, you know, what their thoughts are. I'm on that board, but there's a lot of proposal going on, you know, and then changes, so it may be good to invite them together.
Or have a joint meeting sometime. Because there's a lot of different transportation issues that are going to happen to us that are going to affect business. And just like sometimes we have joint meetings with city council, that might be good to bring the two groups together.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Well, another aspect, I don't know if you folks are aware, but the whole council is going to go out to Forest Grove here on the 24th.
That was it, Forest Grove.
And do the Grove Link tour, which Terry and I did months ago in April. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we were invited from the councilors, we met them, we ran into them in D.C., but we did that whole tour, and it's fantastic. And so Terry wanted to invite people from the TAB, economic development, mm-hmm. made sense to have, you know, whoever wanted to go as part of that, but it would be too cumbersome to do with council and the council in Forest Grove. But, you know, as Terry and I talked, and it seems that it would make sense to do a separate time where the different advisory groups that are complementary to that, so TAB and economic development, we could arrange a time out there. The councils out there are more than happy to accommodate us. And one of the councils was the actual one responsible for getting the ride connection, it's called, in their area, done. And he's actually on the board of Ride Connection. He's one of the key persons, so he's got a lot of knowledge to share. And so we're going to be moving forward as quickly as our city can move to, you know, because that is, it's probably one of the most valuable things we can do.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
Waterfront coming.
Yeah, I'd be very interested.
Plus, businesses already have to pay the TriMet tax.
I know it.
Right.
And I think it would, I mean, I think that we would get a ton of support from our community. I mean,
oh, absolutely. I know it.
Well,
I also threw the idea out a year ago.
Yeah.
I also wonder if it would also help the high school, you know, with their issue of the parking and things. Because if you live on top of the hill, you can't do that. Right? If you live down here, I mean, our kids can ride the bus over there, but on top of the hill, you don't have any choices. So.
Well, the nicest thing about it all, I don't know, it's basically in Forest Grove, it doesn't cost anybody a penny. The only cost to Forest Grove is to buy the hardware, the vans. Mm-hmm. They bought four vans for $400,000, and they spent money for little stations when it was raining. It's like 7,000 per, you know, little station,
sure.
You know, waiting stations that they put up, I think maybe 5 or 10 of them, and that's all they...
Are they electric or are they gas?
They're gas. They may be
how do they pay for the gas?
TriMet.
TriMet pays for it through Ride Connection, sure. Works with TriMet. And so instead of, here's the example, Forest Grove is paying $800,000 a year to TriMet for all their businesses in Forest Grove, and they were getting no
and
service.
Just like us.
Just the city alone. It's based on payroll. Mm-hmm. The city alone, I estimate, is paying TriMet about $125,000 a year. And then, of course, all the other businesses pay mm-hmm. TriMet taxes. And mm-hmm. so I'm guessing it'd be nice to somehow get that number. I'm guessing it's probably $400,000 or $500,000 at least that we give TriMet, and all we get is bus 35 and 154, and they don't really do much for getting people around town.
It would improve
so
rents.
We could do the same thing. So the director of the Ride Connection is going to be at our meeting on the 24th, and so hopefully we'll get direction from her as to what the next steps are to try to implement this in our city, because I don't think anybody would complain about it.
No. No, they'd love it. I mean, it's funny. My son was down at Willamette Park every day this week, and he's 14, and he shared Ubers. So he paid for Uber on the way down, and then his friends paid for Uber on the way back up.
Mm-hmm.
How nice would it be, given that our business already pays for it, and we've never gotten the benefit, to have a TriMet?
And you have that concern, too, because you pay it, and yet if you have a worker that needed to ride the bus to get to your office, they can't.
I've interviewed several quality candidates, had them schedule an interview, and asked them about commuting to West Lynn, and they said, oh, I just ride the bus everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the nearest bus stop is a mile and a half at the
down
the
hill.
What's the actual percentage? I never saw it that you pay as a business. Is it like 6%?
Well, it just increased for everybody, by the way, not just for businesses, but
right.
It just increased by like a cent for every $1,000 you make. That just passed last month, but I want to say for us it's a few hundred dollars a year.
No. And with West Lynn having
47%
of
bills.
Business.
I know, I was going to say, it's just the TriMet tax.
Yeah.
It seems
it's
very...
Like, I haven't
yeah,
got my
account.
Yeah.
Tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a few hundred a year. Like, I'd say it's probably under 500, but I think it's... But, I mean, it's not really fair if you don't get to use it. And I know that families would love it, especially for the kids that are old enough to...
This
take
a,
it by
this
themselves.
This is a no-lose thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even
the
if it costs the city, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 to get 4 or 5 vans to run them, you know, later on it for high school students that are at different activities till 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And to just run a loop, it would be
0.75%
of wages paid
by
employers.
Okay.
It's also...
It's
and when are you going on a tour?
It's also sustainable.
Oh, this month?
Yeah.
Sustainable.
Okay,
so it's
very soon.
And then, you know, if you folks are interested, you know, we'll just put you, because I know Terry's mentioned it to the people on TAB, and so we could, we have a Ride Connection van that services
mm-hmm.
the adult community center.
I would say the elderly
yeah.
would really
we could
benefit.
Take, we could reserve that for a day and take 15 people and go out there and do the tour out there, and so everybody could kind of just see how they run it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think
they pick up kids at high school.
Yes,
they pick
absolutely.
Up,
be good.
They pick up people on the route. You don't have to be at a specific point. If you just if you're on the middle of the route, you put your hand up and then
mm-hmm.
they'll stop.
Really?
If you want to
yeah.
get off,
it's amazing.
In between stops, you can ask and say, "Can I get off in between stops?" I mean, it's incredibly accommodative.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
what about for disabled
it.
People?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
about for disabled?
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, let's do that.
And
let's put that together.
One of the biggest things that would affect at least economic development. 33% of the people that use it shop in town more.
Mm-hmm.
33% are students, and the other 33% work in town. And so they get the benefits
sure.
of having it there.
It's safer. It's safer.
That they will
yeah, because part of it is where they devise the loop, areas in the loop where they stop connect to TriMet buses that take
yes.
them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So like here in
which
West
we
Lynn,
do.
We have no bus service to Tualatin, as far as I know.
Mm-mm.
So one of them could stop somewhere in alignment and have a bus go from there to Tualatin,
mm-hmm.
which would probably get used a lot.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
And from other areas. And so TriMet, that's how they would get their money
yeah.
for providing the service here.
Could,
so
it could be a benefit to them,
okay.
too.
I'm just making sure that they would be on board, because I doubt that we're racking in the dollars as much as Forest Grove has a college in there, right? That probably employs a decent amount of people. we don't have any big employers.
College uses it so much as that, but yeah, there's one.
No, but there's an employer, the big employer, that's probably paying a lot of payroll tax.
Yeah, I wanted to say they pay
large industrial areas.
Yeah.
They are.
Isn't there an income component
to using the service?
No, just to having a service in your community. I mean, isn't it based on low amount of
low
income?
Yeah, there's. I don't know exactly what it is and what the delineator is. Yeah, you're right. There is something along those lines.
I think that's part of the criteria of getting it in your community.
I have it written down as a TriMet tax analysis.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll get more of those details when we.
Oh yeah.
Meet when the executive director's there. Of course, as I said, one of the board of directors is the city councilor at Forest Grove, and he has been for 16 years.
I mean, I'm still not opposed to it, even if the city's got to pay for it. Yeah. I just don't want us to spend a bunch of money on stuff and then find out TriMet's not going to give us anything.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it would help so much with tourism, I think,
well,
for families.
City, I mean, it's
really
a
win-win all
over.
Well,
it would still be worthwhile.
Yeah.
If we pitch the waterfront project,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Parking. It's sustainable.
And the Oregon City side. I mean, that's just...
Opens up all kinds of doors.
Really connecting the dots.
Yeah. So I'll add you folks to the list of people to explore when ready to kind of try to put something together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
For a bunch of people. The TAB and economic development. And I'm not sure what other groups might be interested. Sustainability probably would be interested for sure.
Okay.
Because it would take cars.
The
type of high school kids' cars off the road if they could find a use for it.
Yeah.
It's a benefit for everybody, for them, for
and the elderly, and we talked about this, and you brought this up to me initially, but the more I think about it, it's just we're an economic development committee, but I think a lot of people would think of this for how it would help them. I mean, it happens to help the economy, but I think it would resonate with so many people because they'd say, oh, well, my kid can go to the old time fair now. I don't have to drive him down there.
There's an old time fair bus.
There's a fair bus. Okay.
I'm part of the fair committee. We have two buses this year that will drive you around, and they will take you back to your house.
Solve a problem.
Oh, really?
A lot of people would take it to go down to Main Street. Instead of taking their cars down there and worrying about parking and walking up the streets.
Yeah.
And if there was a shuttle, then some of the streets there could kind of be maybe blocked off for residents only. You know.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, it works out if there's good transportation to get down there. But.
And I don't know if the city, if this would work on a city basis, but I just found out that my college, alma mater, does an Uber subsidy.
Hmm.
Oh.
So you can take Uber within 3 miles of the college and the school pays for it.
Really?
Wow.
So there are like
interesting.
No, but I'm saying the city could do some kind of subsidy, Uber for transportation.
Yeah, that could be something.
My kid would use it every day.
People down there because parking.
Well, the city's budget's pretty tight.
Yeah,
so
I say,
safe ride.
Well, but you know, if you're looking at $400,000 for a bus,
right?
Well, not just
one.
That's four.
So okay. Anything else on that list? Okay. New business? None is left.
I'd like to change that. John and I met with the developer that wanted to develop 1855. Blankenship Road, which is the old Albertson store.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew he was going to do a pre-app or wanting to do it, but I didn't know really what he was thinking or what he was doing. Turns out he wants to put in 150 units for retirement apartments, and so it would be a total remodel of that area. But the problem is that the main floor was going to be businesses only for those residents. So the code states that it needs to be retail on the first floor. Well, that would be really more like a private club, not a retail open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I clearly stated that was a problem. And
isn't it commercial there, not OBC anyways?
It is GC, but the problem is, well, not problem, but the thing about GC is that you could have retail on the first floor.
I don't think there's any residential allowed in GC.
Yeah, it's the same as OBC.
It is.
Residential above the first floor.
Because I, reread the code on that. And
we met with those folks, too, and we made it very clear that the first floor would have to be
open to everybody.
Open to the general public, and he made it seem like that could be a possibility, so.
Yeah.
Because when I was thinking about it, I was like, because everybody's going to be mad that there's not a grocery store, but I was like, it doesn't mean that there couldn't be a grocery store, because the problem with filling it as a grocery store now is it's too large of a location for a grocery store. So you could get in like a small, like, Green Grocer, Zebra Grocer, some
Well,
kind
I did
small
stress to him,
store.
I said, even if you had a small market, people would be a lot happier, even if you had that.
And that would serve the citizens of the...
It would.
Your
and
pharmacy.
Then John said that, you know, people have asked for a pharmacy, too.
Yeah.
Now, when they don't do pharmaceuticals for their people because they are independent retirement apartments, they are not assisted living.
Right.
So they don't have that or wouldn't have
right,
that. But that's what we kept encouraging him when he wants to redesign his concept to look at those things, because those are missing in our community, and we really would want that.
I think if I lived in a retirement community and had a grocery store at the bottom of the floor, that would be the most convenient thing ever.
No. Well,
everyone in the independent living could use a pharmacy.
Yeah, a grocery store and a pharmacy,
especially
like
as you get
that
older,
would seem like the best thing to put in there.
So.
And then everybody would be happy.
And my daughter lived at 11th and Hoyt, downtown Portland, and it was a 4-story apartment building. But on the main floor was, I think it was Rite Aid, but they had milk and eggs and some things like that. And that was really handy for a lot of the residents.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to go to the grocery store. They just run downstairs and get more milk or, you know, whatever. So it's really, I think it would all work out. The thing that startled me is then he went to the SONA meeting and stated that I was all in support of that, his project. And I said, no, it's not what I said. So that's really important. And I also made sure that he understood that, I think it's chapter 19, Darren, that it would be also, he needs to read carefully, because that does state the things that can go there, or if you need to do a variance or such, those are the areas he needs to work on. So anyway, it bothered me that he did not tell the truth about what our meeting was about. So I
that's
just
that's
really
that's
upset.
A little
it's alerting.
Disconcerting.
I mean
that's what happened with the Parker, with him telling that mayor was all on board with his thing.
Exactly. So that's happened
that.
To Russ.
Well, he didn't say you were on board. He said you weren't opposed to it, and he was characterizing it as you were representing WNA where you weren't. You were representing economic development.
Yeah.
And so that's where the kind of the catch was. But.
Yeah, so I'm just like, no. put the brakes on here. But I clearly stated to him, and so did John, that, you know, these are the things that we need there, and this is what the code and the zoning requires. So if you were going to do a zone change, you know, I guess you could, but there's a whole long process to that. So
he said that he wants to do 150 units, you said?
Yeah, and his analysis was 0.3 cars per unit.
What?
Three cars.
They're all
retired.
That is unreasonable.
Yeah. But it's 50.
True.
It's 50.
And they're going to be taking trimesters soon.
Yeah.
Most people I know 55
plus.
50 to, or 55 plus. You know, I'm 67. I drive, and I'll be driving for a while.
Whatever he said, he's going to have to meet the code. So.
Yes, absolutely.
But
so
most
you're
of those,
talking a lot more cars in that
area.
Yeah,
but those,
so
most
difficult.
Of those retirement centers have their own. Like
buses.
Shuttle buses that
yeah,
take
maybe.
People everywhere. So I don't think they do try not to. Like my mother-in-law lived in one for a while, and she didn't drive at all when she lived there.
Yeah.
But everything was right there, you know, that she could use. She didn't have to go anywhere.
The way the limited is to, we don't provide any garages.
Right. Well, I think
it
it's
still
some,
be. I mean, the land there that they were talking about was about 5.5 acres, which is a little bit more than half of that whole shopping center.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said that's the best idea for there, because it's not going to hurt the schools either. It's not going
to.
Well,
I think Jennifer still has the best idea going back to.
I know. Your idea is really
you
great.
You put all that in there.
Well, I did encourage him.
It would fail miserably because Westland residents.
But I encouraged him to look across and would
you should see the restaurants that are over there on Second and Pine.
Do you know how these businesses but the Portland people support their businesses. The Westland people don't support their businesses.
Because the businesses that are here, they don't like.
They do have something like that over in Happy Valley, though. Like a.
They
are smart, kind of.
Happy Valley Station.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And it's doing very well.
Stopped to do a trial with pop-ups.
Yes.
To see as, you know, kind of like a beta to see if it could get.
Well, I did encourage him also to buy the Jeff Parker land because then you would have a great area to have all this development. Because, and Russ has talked about this in the past too, is that too bad you can't get both sides of the street working with retail and living and the whole thing. And that could really be a great, you know, complex. Mm-hmm. But and then have like a pedestrian bridge, you know, so you're not necessarily fighting the traffic. And anyway, but I just wanted to bring that up, that that is something that will probably still be worked around. He has not gone through a pre-app, but he wanted to reach out to neighborhoods to find out what people thought.
So, but it's a feasibility study about that.
Well, I was going to say that this still is something that could happen, or he could still be working on it. So it could affect what you guys do.
He's not done a pre-app. And so how did your conversation end? What was the conclusion of it?
I said he had a lot of work to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Out of about 30 people that were there for SONA, there were only maybe two or three that thought it was a good idea.
Oh, because they don't want to see it.
That didn't think the traffic would be a problem and
finding residents.
Thought of that. And they did a resolution that they sent in to the council saying that I think it was a majority of the SONA.
And remember, residential use creates less trips than commercial use. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just like to stay within the code and the zone. So to me, that's where I'm like, okay, if this is GC, this is what you can do.
Well, he hasn't even brought us a proposal yet. So
no, it's all prelim.
There's no reason to get all excited about it.
Oh, no.
He's doing his feasibility study. He's reaching out to the neighborhoods. He's doing his due diligence. So if he thinks it's going to be a profitable thing that he can get through, then he'll come forward. If not, he'll disappear.
Yeah. Yeah.
His first comment was, we don't want to do it if the neighbors don't want it. Yeah. That was his first comment.
Well, then one thing, though, you do look at this whole situation, and we do have blight there. I mean, it's been empty for 3 years or almost 3 years or whatever it is. And it is important to have something go on, and, you know, we need a facelift there. We really do.
Yes.
So, I mean, that I think is important, and I think that's good. But I want it to be within, you know, our zone and our code.
Okay. His comment, because I said the same thing about, what have you looked into the Parker property? And he says it's topographically, it's too much for them.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a struggle.
It doesn't meet their standard thing. Mm. So they're an organization that's strictly an investment company that puts these together, gets investors to fund it. They run it for a bunch of years. They sell it. They move on to their next investment. So eventually, it would get sold to somebody else. And how they run it, you know, just depends. But I mean, that's not.
Well, and they have projects around here. They have Hillsboro, Beaverton, and Wilsonville. They have those.
They have a really one, nice one in Bend, too, that he showed us.
They look like higher end.
Is it the one in Bend? Is it the one right on Colorado?
I'm not sure the location of it.
Cause that
if you're interested,
really nice.
Go to WOLFF Company, and you'll see all their different projects that they've got.
Can you say that again?
WOLFF.
Oh.
And they're out of Scottsdale, or the parent company is in Scottsdale.
But you find it really
have fitness centers, or how many fitness centers have they looked at this or approached anybody or any
fitness centers?
Like Planet Fitness.
Parker did with his
thing,
right?
He did kind of confirm that the Arby's was going to be a Dutch Brothers.
Yeah.
Because everyone says, we've been hearing all these things, and he says, I didn't hear it definitively, but somebody said that they were really, you know, was going to be
I thought it was kind of interesting, because if you have, it's actually Dutch Bros, and they're going to have a patio and stuff, and then you have the retirement living right there, and like, hey, multi-generational,
right? So no, like, fitness-type club or center has even approached the city for anything. It just seems like that might be
not in that area.
Like a big indoor soccer. I could just see, like, Westland parents just loving some kind of indoor facility.
Well, they're building that one in Stafford, right off of Stafford, right?
Mr. Parker's preliminary plan last year included a fitness club across the street
off of Borland.
But that's why I think that property should maybe be rezoned as industrial. Because if they could do a light industrial building, it would make sense for something like a soccer club or anything. Because I think technically a soccer...
like an indoor soccer...
indoor soccer field would not meet the code there if it's not retail.
Yeah.
For the general commercial?
For the OVC.
Yeah.
Well, that one's general. That's GC.
Yeah, but I mean for Parker's.
Oh, yeah, for the upper.
That's why I think Parker's should be industrial, because you could get a lot with the topography and stuff like that there. I think there's a lot more uses.
And rents would be less. Rents would be less. It's light industrial.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you. Six other items of interest. We'll just go around from the members.
I got nothing.
I have that the mixed use zoning has to cancel, so we're all done with that.
Good to go.
Accomplished.
Anything with Main Street?
Not really. We have the parade next weekend and the old time fair.
Mm-hmm. Activities. Lots going on in Willamette.
Lots going on. And we got a grant for a wine bus tour with that same bus that we did for St. Patty's Day, the luxury double-decker bus. So we'll have that, and then we have a wine walk coming in August too. That Cooperstown's putting on.
Great.
Very good. Isn't there a dance this weekend?
Or
this
week?
Street dance. Is that down there?
Yeah.
A city puts that on.
Okay.
Yeah, and WNA has decided not to meet because we have so much going on in Willamette. It's like, it's really overwhelming. So many activities. So, and that's another reason why I wanted to meet with that developer.
Sure. Okay.
To get an understanding. So that's what I have. What do you have?
Yeah, I have nothing new. I think that, I'd love to just put together, marching orders.
Mm-hmm.
For me, so then that way we can just say, all right, this is what you're responsible for.
Here's your to-do list.
Yeah, I do very well with my marching orders and going forward, but my sister-in-law is pretty high up at Terramar, and they have bought multiple shopping centers. Like, they bought the 365 center in Lake Oswego. They've looked at lots of other ones, so she would make the decision behind if Terramar purchased a center like this in West Lynn, and they've purchased other centers in Lake Oswego. There just hasn't been anything in West Lynn, and their ROIC's main competitor in San Diego, and they have money. So if we decided that we wanted something specific in that Albertsons, I could definitely get it
for
the right person.
Someone owns that building.
Mm-hmm. If it's for sale.
Sounds like he's willing to sell because
he was
going to sell to this developer, Wolf Company.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a preliminary bid. I mean, they don't own it yet. I mean, they were looking at it.
It'll be open.
$10 million is their asking price.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
I don't even know if that's a good deal.
5.5 acres.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea if that's.
I thought
anyway.
It was one owner for the whole thing, but it's not. It's two.
Well, it certainly can't hurt to investigate
it. So I'll find
so
out.
So it's just
but
the Albertsons side that.
Yeah.
Well, one thought I had is like a Target store is more multi-use. I know people like their sports here, but we do really do need some form of grocery there, and Target does have that.
Oh, I would.
It's not a grocery store, but they have a multitude.
I haven't been to Target.
And then
I don't think we have the capacity.
Well, to me,
I really don't,
the other thing I was going to say is when I was in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
they have two-story Target, so doesn't like it, everything has to be on one level.
Target's doing those mini stores, too, now.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing them like the mini
so
the Walmart.
I would love to see us chase that down.
Like the
there's also
idea.
Like Fresh and Easy in California where it's like, and Sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I contacted Sprouts. They never responded.
See the property?
Yeah, so the
put that yellow back in there.
The
that's
Albertson's
the 5.5 acres.
And
then the rest is the Subway and everything.
Sure.
The rest of them are individual.
Really? That's weird.
Yeah.
So do they have like a...
The bank owns their own.
Mm-hmm.
So they have like kind of a agreement on the parking?
Yeah, shared parking agreements.
Okay. Huh.
So, anyway,
but that's all I
what
have.
What
size I mean.
That? To be able to get the...
This here, that's where potentially the Dutch Brothers will go.
What's that?
Are you talking about the map?
The website.
Yeah. Oh, well,
the
this
map.
Is the city's mapping.
Oh, okay, so where it divided the actual lots, where you got that. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it map optics, is it?
Yeah, that's
okay.
South Lynn, LLC.
Yeah.
And see the piece, the house or the building, the lot right directly behind there, that by the freeway is 2.1 for the zoning, and then it's...
No, there's, we learned there's a couple of mixed use in there.
Yeah, is it mixed use in the upper part? I know that bottom one. Yeah, it's mixed use up there, and then the lower piece is 2.1.
So, I mean, I think mixed use with the zoning and everything, that's right there. I wouldn't be opposed to that retirement thing as long as it's complete retail.
Yeah, that was my problem, is it has to have the open retail. It can't be a private club. So, Russ, did you have something?
For the chamber, I don't know if you guys know Michael LaJudas.
Yes.
The chamber president stepped down because he closed his business.
Oh, no. Did he?
Why? No, I'm just, is there a reason?
I didn't get a reason. He just sent out an email that said, I have closed my business. I'm stepping down as the president.
What was his business?
He was a chiropractor. Oh. Highway 43.
Had that a long time.
I think he said 8 years.
Mm-hmm. I remember when he opened.
8 or 10 years, something
like
that.
Yeah, I think it's more like 10, but yeah.
He was over there by Smile Lynn Dental and the... Is it Casking King or something like that?
Yeah, it's in that shopping center. And I remember when he opened, and he's been very active in the community. It's too bad to hear that. But the rents are going up there. They just went up for everybody.
So I don't know if it was a rent thing. He just said he was closing. Molly Meekum also stepped down. She was the vice.
Oh, so is there a
complete change of leader?
Is there a chamber anymore?
Yeah. There is. So there's still Chris, Chris Ryan, Kristen Van Gordon,
oh,
Diane.
I like her.
Lannius.
Can't remember Diane's last name.
Lannius. I'm just trying to remember by email addresses.
But it's healthy to get new.
And I'm still
people
there.
In there.
And then we still have those two team members, and then they.
It's a lot of leaders.
Have two more board members, and one was the nominated for president. I guess we're going to find out end of the month.
Okay.
For the summer, the chamber's not really doing any events. There's more focus on reach out and retention. Mm-hmm. The summer is busy, people aren't going to come, so that was the idea. That's all I had for the chamber. And then I just was random thought that I had yesterday, it was kind of ties into what we were talking about earlier, was with the high school parking lot issue, or parking issue. I noticed that there I had some citizens come by my business to ask to petition to put it on the ballot.
Oh yes, I saw that last week in the morning.
Petition yesterday, they read that farmer's market.
So what does their petition say?
Yeah.
Their petition is to remove the whole parking, protected parking zone.
So take it away from the residents and everything.
Mm-hmm. He was at Starbucks at 7 a.m.
Basically, take the signs down.
Last
parking is parking.
Oh, along the street.
Petitions, yeah.
Are you talking about all the streets? Because you're talking about all the streets. Those roads are like country roads.
There's a parking sign that says restricted parking.
Well, that's why I thought Rory's testimony on Monday was very interesting, where he said, you know, I'm doing this petition. I've given you guys a chance to come up with a compromise where we don't take all the parking away, but no one wants to work with me on a compromise, so this is what's going to happen. I'm going to take away.
So it got me thinking.
Well, that's a good way to work it.
It was an interesting argument.
Yeah. Why is it come to that? Like, we talk about tight budgets and trying to do things to promote business and not have high fees, but we don't have an effective way to deal with something as simple as parking for students. Why was that completely ineffectual, like, when it came to dealing with it outside of courts petitions?
I think it became a issue of you have neighbors that live there fighting on one side, and you have the students on the other side, and council needing to try to figure out a way to appease both sides.
Well, the interesting thing,
then you have the school board that
if you take a step back and you look at it as any zoning situation, if a business had that operation going on, there's a CUP of how much parking that they're required to have, mm-hmm. and yet the school can add more students and, you know, grow and grow and grow, and we don't use that same philosophy with the CUP, with the school district. Wait a minute. And then the other thing to it is, I think a lot of it's a school district problem. So they don't think they do. They think that they don't have any responsibility in it, and I think that's crazy.
Well, I do think the school district has a problem, but according to the CUP, they still, even with their enrollment right now, meet the CUP. They have the 400 spaces that's required in the code right now, if they were rebuild right now, because that's the reason they did the whole parking based on the stadium instead of what the code was at that point. Otherwise, they wouldn't have the spaces they have now. But if you do the math,
I think they need more than 400, though.
Mm-hmm. The way the code is right now, no, they need 430-something.
Why do we always come back to codes?
That's what I'm saying, we need to update our codes
and our zoning so badly.
I just got thinking about that. We talk about budgets and spending and trying to entice business, and then we are going to spend money. Like, how much does it cost for the city to have an attorney go to court and do all these different things?
We already pay an attorney. We pay two attorneys.
Not much. Not that much. For this issue, it's not as much as you might think.
See that.
But is it necessary, I guess?
Oh, yeah.
No, not from my perspective, but and that's the citizen brought a suit, and we are responding to the suit, and they're going to court August 8th to answer questions from the judge.
And then how expensive is it to get it on the ballot? And now we're going to have this issue, and it's going
to... cost money to have it on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's the petition, and then it costs money to put on the ballot, and we're...
Well, first got to get 2,879 signatures.
Well, we got 150 last night.
How much?
You got 150 last night.
Yeah, that's a long way from almost 3,000, though. But yeah, it's hard to say.
It's going to be the street dance again.
Well, a lot of times there's like 2,000 people to go to that.
Yeah,
so.
He'll be at the street dance. He'll be at the old time fair. There's all those people right there. He's lucky with this time of year that all these people are, you know, music in the park. There's lots of places you could go to get all this image.
Yeah, there really is a process.
I got to thinking about it. Like, what are we, like, if we're really going to be serious about enticing business and spend, like, why are we spending resources on things that don't spend, like, we're not in effect, like, by not doing anything about it, we're spending money on things too. That was my thought.
We started talking about it June 26th last year.
My concern, though, too, is on Broadway, it thins down, so it's really not a complete street. And if you start getting people parking on both sides of the street, will you be able to get an emergency vehicle through there, fire truck, ambulance, or anything like that? And so it does also become a safety issue.
Well, that's why the Youth Advisory Council came up with that solution of
parking
on
one
side of the street, one side of the street on those wider
yes.
streets. And that went nowhere. And that's what Yabori's point is, that we gave you this solution where you could still have, you know, not the safety issues that you're worried about and only have them on the wide streets, but...
But the residents still use the street parking, too.
Don't want to compromise at all.
But the residents still use the street parking, too. So you got two needs at the same time.
Yeah,
so.
But barely. Have you driven through those streets during the day? There's, like, two cars on there.
And
or and there's
the
an RV that's parked there for months and months and months at a time, and
that
violates code.
They also benefit from having a school system that promotes people that want to live here, and it pushes home prices up, and then for them to say that, I don't want to, like, I just think that's...
Well, I think it's important for it to be safe, you know, and that's where my biggest concern is.
I would agree.
So where Webb and Broadway is, those streets narrow down, and because they don't have sidewalks. You know, they're almost like country roads.
Wouldn't that be the solution to build it out to the full width with sidewalks and everything? Then everything would be safe.
Well, and that's a big topic right now. Is about sidewalks.
That wouldn't be acceptable for those for a lot of people too. But I do think at some point something's got to give.
Yeah, I mean, they're making an argument on both sides. Mm-hmm. One, it's not safe, but we also don't want sidewalks and our streets improved. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
There's
a
lot of conflicting arguments.
Well, and
it's not just an easy.
No.
Well, here's a compromise because it's more than that.
Well, I've always thought, because when my kids went there, they're in their 30s now, so they're well past that. I always thought that we needed a parking structure right there, that two-level parking area. But I've had other people say, oh, no, we don't want a parking structure there. And I'm like, well,
that's why
that would really help, that would even help, like, in football games and things like that, because you'd have that additional parking.
Because you see both sides. I mean, what do people do in downtown Portland at Lincoln High School? Obviously, Lincoln doesn't have enough parking for all the people.
I grew up without parking.
Yeah.
The biggest mistake that I brought up in a meeting was in 2012 when the school added space there and the city worked with them on permits and everything. Nobody had the forethought to think, well, what happens as the school grows? Where is people going to park? How do we plan for it now, 6 years ago? And nobody did it. Nobody thought about it. Nobody did it. And so now we're in the same predicament. However this gets resolved, we're still 5 years out. If the school's going to keep growing, well, you know, Woodland can only grow so much.
It
there's
can.
Still another.
We're going to need another high school.
Darren, probably there's maybe 200 or 300 homes max that can. Well, fill in Westland.
But they're looking at building another high school in Wilson.
Sure.
So you should.
Yeah.
I mean,
between
you,
the two cities.
Well, yeah, but you guys should work on the code then
yeah.
for
Thank
that
you.
Eventuality of when
quick.
They start to
Thank you.
Build more in the school that it has to address the parking. But right now, like I said, the code for the code right now is exists. They haven't the parking.
So funny.
I'm sorry, Russ. I kind of went off the rails there, but
no.
Do you have something else?
No, that was it. I saw the petition and I just thought, why are we not? We're spending money by not doing things,
mm-hmm.
and that's taken away from other things that we could be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was...
This is true.
And I don't have kids, and I don't plan to have kids, so it doesn't affect me. I just am annoyed because in Willamette, we have an issue where we have no reserved parking either,
yeah.
and though all those residents don't even have... Most of them don't even have their own driveways, and
yeah.
they can figure out how to share parking with the commercial district. So I just don't understand why these residents are so self-centered that they cannot share
and
parking at all. With the
it's like one section.
Well,
it's
by saying what you just said, you're just causing people to get angry because saying they're self-centered.
It is.
They have, well, no, then Rory's being self-centered.
No, it's sharing with the community. It's sharing with the rest of the community.
Rory doesn't even go to school there.
Yeah,
anymore.
Rory's
yeah.
putting up
he
the fight. Graduated.
Yeah. Okay.
Not
so I do not.
The
I do not have anything to share. So, Darren and Richard, do you guys have anything?
The only thing I'd like to share is that you know the mixed use. We approved the mixed use thanks to Darren and you and the rest of the group.
Thank you.
And the council would like to see that move on to other areas,
yeah.
which
okay.
would be real valuable. And so we're looking forward to that because it makes a lot of sense.
It does.
You know, you guys did a great job doing it. You
I'm sure
you probably listened to it because you listen to most of them. But
I'm sure Bolton and Robinwood also could use help.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and part of that could be you know fiber in the areas. I mean, it's all there's all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But we certainly need it in our city to take advantage of the areas that can and will have businesses for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we would like to see you know all our suggestions as far as rezoning some of those properties move forward as well. Because we just changed what's allowed, right,
mm-hmm.
in the zone. But there's, you know, the idea of that those houses that are kind of commercial between commercial that doesn't make sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and the backside of the general store and being residential.
Well, the working group is now one to zero. One in the win column, so.
Okay.
Well, and there were other things we wanted to
do
with the working group, but, you know, that was specifically council asked this.
Yeah. So council has asked for the planning docket, so I don't know if this group has ever seen the planning docket.
I have
anyhow,
years ago, but.
So the council has asked to revisit the planning docket, and one of the things that it seems like they're going to prioritize is the rezoning of 8th, which is one of the working group's
mm-hmm.
Suggestions for future consideration.
Yeah.
So planning staff are putting together sort of a proposal of how we could get through the process quickly. And another one of the proposals from the working group was, so fix the uses, the allowed uses in the zone, which is going to be very beneficial to the existing buildings there. But the thing that didn't get fixed through this process for the dimensional and design standards, which are very limiting for any kind of redevelopment. So we want to try to see if the council would be willing to tag that on to the zone change, try to get it all done at once so it truly makes the zone flexible and something actually happen there. Because I always like to go back to this property. This is my favorite example.
Mm-hmm. One behind the police.
Yeah.
In front of the police behind the fire department.
Yes,
it's for sale. It's for sale right now.
Yes,
yeah,
for sale right now. People are looking at it and calling and wondering what they can do with it.
Yeah, we looked at it.
But when we talk to them and start explaining to them all these things, then
they're like, oh,
5 minutes into the conversation, they're
right?
like, yeah, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it's like four something. It's like a really good deal.
And that's why that property owner came to
mm-hmm.
the meetings.
Yes.
And he was very, you know, upset because he's like, I can't do anything with it. I can't sell it.
So currently you would have to have a. So if you wanted this to be, if you wanted to buy this, demolish this, and put a building in, you would have to have a 12-foot setback from here, 12-foot setback from here, and a 20-foot setback from here.
Yeah.
and the maximum size of your building total can only be 6,000 square feet. And it's a 10,000 square foot lot, and only 35 feet. So if you were to eliminate the setbacks, eliminate the maximum size of the building, you could, in theory, put a 10,000 square foot building on there with a second story. And then you'd have to figure out how you get your parking in, whether it's underground or tuck under. Mm-hmm. And that might pencil out. That's still iffy.
Still sketchy. Hold up with the setbacks. Redoing the setbacks.
What's the holdup?
Yeah.
Well, we need council to tell us to do it, is what the holdup is.
What is the holdup, Richard?
Well, that's what we're gonna bring to them on August 6th.
Isn't that odd that it's a 20-foot setback on the side?
The rear yard.
That's the rear of the property.
Oh, 20 feet.
They face 12.
But the side with the fire department, is that a 5? 12.
It's 12.
7.5, I think.
Because, like, my neighborhood's 5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so anyhow, the setbacks and the maximum size are issues. And currently, any new structure has to have a front porch. Mm-hmm. And if it's on a side corner like this, you would have to have a front and side porch. So if you were to buy this property and want to build a commercial business, you would have to build it to look like a house, essentially.
Right.
So,
which is crazy.
So those things need to get worked out because they're very limiting for what you can do in this zone.
I would buy it and use it as is if the price was not ridiculous.
Because
I don't need that much space.
But the problem is, we have someone that's been contacting us about it, but if you want to put a commercial business in there, then that kicks in building code where you have to upgrade the bathroom to a commercial. Mm-hmm. The hallways have to be a certain width, so if the hallways were built back in the day, you have to have ADA access into it. So you might have to put as much money into it as the property is worth. So anyhow, that's something that we hope to be able to try to work through.
And it would be a really good
position,
though. I mean, that area is really building out and looking nice. And then across the street, Darren, I saw a remodel that they wanted to do over there. It seemed like quite...
It's in design review right now.
That's like a huge remodel.
Yeah.
So
anyhow, that's my good example of some of the limitations of that current zone right now. So we fixed the uses, so now commercial or businesses can go in there, but then they're going to have to deal with the building code. So it's probably the best solution is someone purchase it, knock it down, and then build a large structure, but they can't do that right now.
Okay,
you know? Nice. As the Economic Development Committee, this is, you know, things that...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, hopefully you would
look like you have something to say.
I mentioned ADA requirements. It just made me think when I was doing the build out up here, the city wouldn't give me occupancy because the desk, when you first walked in, that was left there, was too tall for a wheelchair. And I was like, but I'm gonna get rid of it. It's like, well, I'll come back when you get rid of it.
oh my gosh!
Like it's leaving. Like there's my pile of new desks.
You just take it with you.
Just pick it up and take it with you.
And he's like, well, I'll come back next week when you've got it gone.
Yeah, so that'll be August 6th when we go to council. So
August 6th.
They want 650 for that.
Yeah.
From my perspective, the more flexible we make it for businesses to get in there, the better off our city is and the whole area is.
That was like 650 when I looked at it.
You know, I look at it as like a mini Lake Oswego is just, you know, the center of Lake Oswego really goes out far. And, you know, if we have areas on both sides and not just Main Street on the side streets there that where it fits right and it makes sense, we should be as flexible as possible to get more economic development in there.
495.
Well, and things have changed. I mean, things
from
that original
reasonable.
That original zoning 30 years ago, maybe it made sense, but it doesn't make sense now.
Well, the mixed use zone was just implemented in 2004, though.
Well, I'm going by what the neighborhood people said, like Jody Carson and other people said to me. They wanted to create this buffer zone so the businesses were not right on top of the residents. But it does get to the point where that has all changed through there to where we need to be able to do something usable on that corner.
It's a good retirement home.
Yeah. But you could do a little retirement home.
Darren, do you have anything else?
The waterfront project, probably nothing new since the last time Mr. Morgan gave you an update.
Okay.
Sort of just waiting for PGE and Westland Paper Company to to make some decisions, and we're still working through the transportation issues with the intersection there.
Sure.
John had mentioned before that it would be till October because PGE was going to hire their own consultant and yada yada.
Yeah, they gave us a timeline, and it looks like sometime in the autumn is when we'll come back with another open house with some options for land use.
Okay, good. Good. Anybody else? Anything else? No. We do not have any guests from the public here, so we'll pass on that. The announcement of our next meeting is 6:30, August 9th, 2018.
Oh, I might not be.
I will tell you, I will not be here. My daughter is being commissioned and pinned into the Navy as a fighter pilot.
Wow.
So I will be in Rhode Island.
So you get to chair that
meeting. I know, right?
Cool.
Right out
I'll
of the gate.
It. Yeah, and we're lucky because the 9th I will be here, but my son goes to boarding school on the 13th. We take him to Indiana for high school.
Week. It's a very big week.
I know. It's all depressing that it's happening.
All right. So we are adjourned at, let me see, 7:39.
I have a question, though.
Sorry.
About that meeting, and then if we're not here, Gail's not potentially here.
I'll be here for that one.
Okay.
Is Kazi going to be here?
Because I was just going to say,
promise.
You might not have a quorum. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
So how many, can you
I
count?
Should be here.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, that's a quorum. If you, are you going to be here? The
I don't have anything exciting like that going on.
Okay. So we will have a quorum then.
I mean, I might be. I haven't decided. I'm going to Seattle that weekend,
decided.
So I haven't decided.
You're deciding.
All of a sudden,
something
more important.
How good is this?
We still have probably four or five people in
the room. That's not how it works.